It is a deaf cafe, and it focuses on promoting the idea that life is finite. And it's an open forum for the community at large. People are invited to RSVP to the event that's happening on Saturday at Atwater's at Belvedere Square. Tea time's at 4 o'clock for good discussion and delicious cake.
So tea and cake, and you're going to discuss death and the end. Whose idea was this?
Well, the Death Cafe came out of a work done by a Swiss sociologist and a gentleman by the name of John Underwood in London, who was doing some of his own research about death and dying and the promotion of understanding life as a finite measure, came up with a model called the Death Cafe, which was done first in his basement in London. And since 2011, there's been over 1,000 attendees, 100 death cafes across the world, including such places as Italy, Australia. And the first death cafe was done in April, I believe, of 2012 out in Columbus, Ohio, by a colleague of ours, Lizzie Miles. And we know Lizzie Miles through an association called ADAC, which is Association of Death Education and Counseling. And both Amy and I have been involved with that organization. And so with the success and Lizzie's data that she collected as far as the benefit that people felt, we said, well, gee, you know, I contacted Lizzie and said, Lizzie, how do I do this? And she said, well, here, you know, contact John Underwood in England. I sent him an email and said, gee, I think really want to do this. And Lizzie said, well, there's this woman, Amy Brown, who, you know, I know, and she's actually in Baltimore, too. Why don't you guys get together? So Amy and I met and felt that there was some synchronicity and some commonality as far as our interest and said, let's do it.
The two of you met through this. What do you hope to accomplish?
I just hope to accomplish, to increase some death awareness, just to have some conversation, meaningful conversation amongst anyone who wants to attend our Death Cafe at 4 o'clock on June 22nd here at Atwater.
How much of the conversation focuses on the five stages of death and dying, the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross? If I remember my psychology class from college and my social studies class from high school, that was it anger or denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance?
Very good.
I get it right? Yes. How much of that discussion focuses on that?
There's really no agenda for the conversations that will take place. We don't have an agenda. We may start with some icebreakers or some opening questions, but if someone wants to bring up Dr. Kubler-Ross and her five stages of grief, that's fine. If it never comes up, that's fine too. There's no agenda with what we plan on discussing.
What in your own experiences, I mean, you're a palliative care nurse. You deal with a lot of patients. What can the people who attend this cafe learn from your patients?
Well, I think that there is a lot of misconceptions about death and dying in general. We are surrounded by the notion of death every day. And the other day, I was actually stopped at a light. And in front of me, it was a locksmith truck. The tagline on the back of the truck was, drive safely, we do not have a key to heaven. And I said, oh my God, there it is again. You know, death surrounds us all the time. And, you know, after the Civil War, we know that the focus on death and dying and the extreme loss really changed how Americans in general view death. And there became more fear involved. And, you know, I guess the premise of the Death Cafe is to really bring people together to talk about death and dying, talk about their own experiences, or, you know, maybe lack of knowledge that maybe another participant participant can basically help that individual and, you know, come to a different understanding.
Now, have you attended any of these cafes? I mean, the one in Ohio, for example, I mean, the Lizzie's, I mean, what kinds of, are we talking older people that are attending this, younger people? I mean, who's attending this?
Well, right now we have about 15 RSVPs to our event, and there are people from all different walks of life. There are young adults that are home from college. So there are hospice nurses, there are nurse practitioners that are coming, there are people from faith-based communities that I know that are coming, and I think people are really interested in finding out, you know, and networking with other people who are interested in the conversation.
Val, address this. Amy, I'll ask you, what do you think, and when you talk about some of your patients, talk to some of your patients, what's their biggest misconception about death?
The biggest misconception about death? That it can't be a meaningful experience. That would probably be the biggest misconception. I think that maybe conceptually we all know that we will all die, but to actually face that and realize my life will come to an end, probably the most meaningful part of my job is having conversations with the women that I take care of as they are facing the end of their life. And it is just a very profound experience to be with them as they come to certain realizations, as they talk about their life, as they do sort of a life review. And one of the things that patients say to me sometimes is that, you know, talking about my life and talking about the things I've done and the legacy that I will leave to my children and my friends and my family, that has been so meaningful to me as, you know, as I'm about ready to become a hospice patient, as I'm giving up the thoughts of curative measures, as I'm saying goodbye to chemotherapy. I think that a lot of the women that I take care of, I'd say that the most successful transitions happen when people have decreased fear, increased support from their family, they don't feel like they're going to be abandoned, and they feel like they will still be loved and remembered once they're no longer here.
And that's some of the things you want to talk about at the Death Cafe?
Well, we'll see what happens at the Death Cafe, and that's one thing that is the emphasis, is that there's no agenda, that if those kind of things come up, that would be great. Both Amy and I, you know, work in the field day to day, and, you know, there certainly are a lot of misconceptions as far as even the mere essence of having a written healthcare proxy might come up. Many people think that just because you're married, you have a husband or a spouse or a significant other, that, you know, you have all the say. But without a written healthcare proxy, according to the Healthcare Act in Maryland, there are limits to what you can do. So those part of the educational elements surrounding death and dying, I hope, will be part of also the discussion, but we'll see.
And the other thing is, are you looking for some kind of a follow-up to this? Are you trying to create a new support group? I mean, is that what you're trying to do here?
The Death Cafe isn't a support group. It's not a bereavement group, but it's a gathering of individuals with some interest in the subject. So we're hoping, and I haven't discussed it with Amy yet, but I'm foreseeing maybe every other month, like a bi-monthly kind of event. We've had a tremendous amount of response so far, and we'll see how it goes. And people